Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Festivus for the rest of us as the Baltimore Ravens continue their assault on NFL teams, now leading after the two-minute warning in every game and actually finishing a game against San Francisco 49ers on Christmas night. What a giveaway game for the 49ers and five picks, and the Ravens made it look easy. And I know it's not easy. It's not going to be easy in a couple of weeks. They're not going to be three touchdown leads and all of that in a lot of these games. But boy, the Ravens are the best team in the National Football League, Luke Jones. And whatever that means in December, it needs to mean that in February as we get up on this. But they're getting closer and closer to putting themselves in the perfect position to go win a Super Bowl.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I think back to the old NFL clips highlight of Brian Billick late in the 2000 regular season. Men, the time is here. It's time to go to a Super Bowl. I mean, what else do you want me to say about a 33-19 dominant win over the team that was, I don't know if I want to say universally regarded as the best team in the NFL, but was the overwhelming consensus at the very least. And, you know, there was so much talk this past week as far as disrespect, and everyone saw the Mike Florio rant. Well, you know, it is what it is. The thing I'll say about that is anyone who is picking the 49ers to win, as I did, I picked the 49ers to win by four. It's not disrespect. It's not disrespect to pick the Ravens to lose a football game. For me, the first time since week seven that I picked against them. However, I will say this, and then I'll leave it at that because I don't want to talk about Mike Florio all morning. Fans can do that on Twitter. But it was silly to look at the Ravens and look at the Ravens for now 2 years and look at any time they've lost the football game with a healthy Lamar Jackson on the field. It's been by a score, right? They haven't been blown out with Lamar on the field. They haven't lost by two scores with Lamar healthy and upright since that Thursday night game in Miami 2 years ago. You know, you have to go back to the Bengals game early in that 2021 season for a really, really lopsided Ravens loss with Lamar Jackson on the field. So I thought it was silly to think that the San Francisco 49ers were going to blow out the Ravens, but the Ravens went a step further than that and not only won the football game, but they won it in overwhelmingly dominant, impressive, best team in the NFL fashion. I joked about it on social media in the final moments of Monday night's win that there's no need to look at the power rankings, you know, today, tomorrow, or any time between, I guess, now and Sunday, because that'll be the next test against the Miami Dolphins. But an absolutely terrific, kind of strange defensive performance in the sense that they give up so many chunk plays, but the high leverage splash plays and making Brock Purdy look confused, rattled, whatever word you want to use, they made him look anything but the league MVP favorite, which he had been going into Monday night. And on the offensive side, this wasn't Lamar Jackson's most impressive, amazing football game, but he played well, really well, and he made a bunch of big plays at some big moments. But the difference between him and Brock Purdy is he took care of the football.
And the Ravens are capable of losing like this in a big game in the playoffs if they throw the ball around five. I mean,
anyone is. Kansas City, you know. Yeah, I mean, whoever.
Anybody who's a gunslinger. I mean, even Josh Allen. That's the one thing about Lamar from the very, very beginning. And look, you and I have been sideways. And if the fans pile on me every time I say Lamar lost a game or whatever, and they haven't lost a lot of games this year. And the games they lost, they gave away. And they were in winnable position. The 49ers did not put themselves in a winnable position with the turnovers. And this is a case study of the 49ers being a very good football team. Mike Florio and all of that. God, that stuff. I'm so old and I'm so bored by that and the immaturity of the team all yelling his name. Like, if that's how Harbaugh motivates them, God bless them. They're the best team in football. So that's all good. But that stuff really bores me. But the 49ers haven't played sloppy like that. They haven't given games away. That look on Purdy's face, to your point, after the third one, and Aikman's like, I don't care who you are. You know, you throw three picks, you're going to be questioning the next time you throw the football, especially when it starts to get lopsided and the the other team gets a field goal, but a couple touchdowns, and it really starts to pile up on you. It was a cautionary tale for the 49ers, but one for the Ravens as well, as to that's a good team they beat. And Harbaugh will sit up there and say that after they beat the Bengals, whoever it is, that's a
Right,
good
right,
team over
right.
there. The Jets, that's a good team over there. That's a really good team over there. And if they have to play that game again next weekend, I think the 49ers approach it differently. I would hope that Brock Purdy is a better quarterback than what we saw, right? I mean, we've watched him run around for a year and a half as Mr. Irrelevant. It's been the craziest story since Kurt Warner, right? Like it's uncanny how good he's been, but clearly Mike McDonald and the rush and the way he saw the field, I don't, he was slinging. First two drives, everything was great. I'm like, boy, they're in for a track meet tonight. I mean, they got players. All the stuff we talked about all week. Samuel, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey. I mean, listen, all the way through, they had players, they had weapons. But the Ravens won the war. They it was as impressive a victory if we go back to 19, beating the Rams that night out in LA. Because anytime you fly three time zones, I've done this for 30 years. I haven't worn a suit quite like what Chad Steele put on TV after the game, but I've flown 3,000 miles. I know how tough it is. I know those long flights back after you lose a game. This is impressive for the organization, for what John has done to get these guys ready to play, and what these coordinators, and they were made stars of the game as well. Purdy cost himself the MVP the other night. McDonald might have got himself a job, right? We were all talking about McDonald, McDonald, McDonald. Now Joe Buck and Aikman are bringing him out on Christmas night. The defense is bringing 30-year-olds off the edge, Clowney, Van Noy, all the things you'd want to say about, well, I wonder if those guys will still have a little pep in their step, late in the year or whatever. They answered all the questions, but it's different. If they're playing a lame team this week, if they're playing the Jets this week, we would just anoint. Now they have to go do it again on 6 days rest, come back home, play a track meet team. Defense needs to show up and look the same way. It was just such an impressive win because now they're the hunted. Now the Ravens are Florio, Florio, Florio. They're the best team. They better not go out and throw three picks second week of January. They better not play that kind of game. It better be the cautionary tale for how a good team gets its ass kicked and falls out of the play. The only thing that's going to cost the Ravens the playoffs is a game like that. A giveaway game where they're giving the ball away, because I think they've been so good over 15 games now in every game where they are. I don't see what happened to San Francisco happening to them. They could lose a playoff game, field goal here or there, but I'd be very, very shocked if a team came into Baltimore and did what the Baltimore Ravens went into Santa Clara and did on Christmas night.
They went out there and they played like the best team in the NFL. I mean, it's that simple. And I mean, going back to what you said as far as the reaction to Mike Florio, the 2000 Ravens, listen, they heard critics and they made note of guys that picked against them. So that I don't think it's an immaturity thing. I think that's how teams motivate themselves. I think that's how it works, especially in the social media era. It's even more pronounced. But putting that aside, everything you just said, I mean, it's time to go win a Super Bowl. I mean, it really is. The only thing that you would point to, and we've talked about the offensive line, we've talked about the run defense at times, we've talked about things here and there that would potentially derail, not derail, but maybe sidetrack, things that you would take pause about. It's Lamar Jackson staying healthy. And to your point, the difference this year compared to certainly the last 2 years, Lamar's healthy. But going back to 20, going back to even 19, it's dominant as the offense was that year. That defense, which did play well when they got Marcus Peters and the rest of that year, you look at them statistically, they were among the very best defenses in the league, but it was not this defense. I mean, how dynamic it is at every level. We've talked so much about Kyle Hamilton for weeks now. Once again, that shows up. Marlon Humphrey played his best game of the year, or certainly one of his two or three best games of the year, and he's looking much better than he did a couple of weeks ago against the Rams. Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, we've talked about their dominance at the second level of the defense. I mean, the secondary in general. Again, they gave up some plays. I mean, to your point, the 49ers are a really good team, and if you're going to be dismissive of that, that's diminishing what the Ravens did on Monday night. They're a heck of a team, but the Ravens went out there and showed that they were much better than them on Monday night. And when you do that, there's nothing left on the schedule the rest of the way. And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, to your point. You're not going to go out there and score on seven straight possessions every week, because that was very 2019 like in the role that they got in. But it gives you the confidence. And at this point, the other thing that I was kind of thinking about late in the game was there's no more eyeball tests that matter. Beat the Dolphins 3-2 if you have to. Beat the Dolphins 6-3. Beat them 41-40. You have the number one seed, and now you're looking ahead, and you can rest some starters in week 18. Great. It's still a very challenging gauntlet that they're going to have to go through from the standpoint of Buffalo's looking like a top five team in the NFL, and has for about a month now. And Josh Allen, while he turned the ball over a lot early in the season, and he's got that Brett Favre mentality, he's having a quite a run of good football. So the Bills coming into Baltimore at some point, I'm not saying I'm picking against the Ravens in that scenario whatsoever. I'm picking the Ravens the rest of the way. I'm telling you right now. I mean, that's where I am at this point with this team. Again, if Lamar Jackson's healthy, I'm picking the Ravens, period. End of discussion. But teams that could potentially trip them up, you have Buffalo. As horrible, horrible as they looked Monday afternoon, it's still Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in January if Kansas City's coming in here. You have Joe Flacco and the Browns if you're looking for that underdog kind of scenario that would just be unbelievable from a storyline standpoint.
By the way, they
And
lost to
you
the
have the
Browns.
Dolphins, who
They
we're going to
lost to the
see on
Browns.
Sunday.
I want to point that out. Yeah.
I'm going to say it, and we'll talk about this as we get close as we get closer to Sunday. I'm not a big believer in them just yet, but hey, they are where they are. Their record says what they are. They have a great opportunity to come in and prove people like me wrong. I'll sound like Mike Florio talking about them this week, not to that same degree, but it's all right there. And when you play a game like they did on Monday night, there's nothing left to say other than it's time to go win a Super Bowl. Now, 7 weeks to go. Lots can happen between now and then. And it can end very abruptly, as we found in 2019, as the 2006 Ravens found out against Indianapolis. So there's nothing that's guaranteed, but you do something like the Ravens did Monday night on the road against the perceived best team in the NFL. I don't know what else there is to say. We'll talk about little, minutia from this game and, a couple things here and there that you'd say, oh, that wasn't the greatest. But by and large, you're talking about a two touchdown victory on the road against the best team in the NFC. Again, the Ravens deserve the title of best team in the NFL on Christmas night for whatever that's worth. And now it's time to go finish the job over these next 7 weeks.
Luke Jones is here. He'll be at camp all week long. The Ravens getting ready for the Miami Dolphins. Good looking throwbacks they had the other day. Even though I'm not a Mercury Morris fan, we got to see Greasy's kid for a couple of minutes late at night on Christmas night as well. But the Dolphins coming in impressive. I want to the part for the Ravens game. It'll be Lamar, 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 and that should be the lead story. There's no talk of Mark Andrews. His name didn't come up much the other night because Isaiah Likely's out there. There's not a whole lot of talk of J.K. Dobbins. Justice Hill did a decent enough job. I heard Keaton Mitchell's name once. Missing guys. Ronnie Stanley's out there. Should I go in? Should I not? McCary looked like he got hit in the head. Hamilton this week. It's short week and getting guys ready for the field. Taking the ball away and pick sixes and defensive scores and sort of the Ravens' heritage in doing that. And, even the years they weren't very good. The Ed Reed year with the Jets returns and all of that stuff when he was the MVP of the league. Taking the ball away and having that kind of defense is different than we're going to rush your quarterback. We're going to make you punt. We're going to make you throw passes into the dirt. We're going to hurt your feelings. The interceptions in the game, that's something I don't know that we've seen a lot of that from the Ravens lately. We know it's possible that earlier in the year, Geno Stone's got all these interceptions as a role player and finding the ball against bad quarterbacks and against bad offenses. The first 8 weeks of the season, they played two or three real NFL quarterbacks, two or three real NFL offenses. But the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I feel like the defense, as much as the offense becomes the lead story and the defense says this, we're number one, Cleveland's number one, and all that, they've been great, but they haven't won the game. Like, literally, just won a game. They won that game. I mean, and Lamar took care of it. Lamar's going to be the MVP. I'll give you all of that. But the defense won the football game. The defense brought a bully bravado that I think Roquan Smith would like to have every team when they come in, think they're getting bullied around a little bit defensively. I don't know that this defense had that sort of reputation. I think it might after everybody watches them on Christmas night, watches them get after Trevor Lawrence the week before. They're now playing games where everybody's watching them play. They're going to play a 1 o'clock game this week where I guess 80% of the country will get that game. Unlike us who got the Redskins game the other day or the Commanders game the other day when Flacco's playing. But I would say for them, the defense and taking the ball away and turning it into points, if they do that in the division game and the championship game, they're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. If this defense takes the ball away, that's different than three and out, playing good defense, you know, having good yardage numbers and all of that. Takeaways and points off of takeaways, that's the magic elixir of how to win and lose playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, you have five interceptions. First of all, I mean, you don't see that very often in the NFL anymore. I mean, it's not like the days of even 20 or 25 years ago where you'd see quarterbacks throw 25 or 30 interceptions. I mean, you just don't see that. But Jameis Winston a few years back when he had that year with Tampa Bay where, what, he had like 32 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. I mean, you just don't see that very often. I mean, we talk about Josh Allen turning the ball over a ton and look at his interception totals compared to where someone would be as one of the leaders in the league even 15 years ago. I mean, it's different in that way. But yeah, when you have that ability to make the other team turn the ball over, and I think with Brock Purdy specifically, that's such a structured offense that there's so many anticipation throws, right? Not that it's necessarily 100% predetermined where he's going with the football pre-snap, but more of that for a quarterback like him than, I don't know, a Mahomes or think about it in terms of those guys that you kind of trust to sit back in the pocket. I think for me, and I even included this in what I wrote in my 12 Ravens thoughts going into Sunday's game. As I pointed out, I picked the 49ers to win. I'm not going to hide from that, but I did say that for all the talk about Brock Purdy that I think was unfair in terms of being completely dismissive of him, I did say that he hasn't seen a pass defense quite like this. And talking about the pre-snap things they do, the things they do post-snap in terms of flipping their coverage, in terms of changing their pre-snap look to something else, I think that was something that I was interested to see how Brock Purdy was going to respond to it. And I flat out said this. I'm reading directly from this was my eighth thought in that. Remember how well Jared Goff was playing before facing Baltimore earlier this year when the Lions came in? Jared Goff was one of those guys statistically looking like, not that anyone's talking about MVP in week seven, but you would have thrown him on the relatively short list of candidates at that point.
He's a
And they
quarterback
made
of a
Jared
very
Goff
good
look
team
horrible in
playing
that
very
game.
well, right?
And,
I mean,
they made, yeah, exactly. So I think, do I think if the Ravens face Brock Purdy again in the Super Bowl, they're going to intercept five passes again, or I guess four and Sam Darnold through the fifth, to be complete, to be technical. But do I think he's going to do that again? Probably not. But do I think that he's going to have all the answers against this defense just because he's seen them already? That's where I don't know. And that's where I've said for the better part of about 2 months now, look, the Cleveland Browns have a good defense. I'm not going to be disrespectful of them just because they're a division opponent and Brown's going to Brown and all the different things we've said about them. But is that defense this Ravens defense? I haven't thought that for a while now. And I think this Ravens defense just has dynamic playmakers at every level of the defense. And I get it. Their run defense isn't the 2000 Ravens, for example. It's not the best run defense they've ever had, but the complete product in terms of what they do, points allowed, you mentioned the takeaways, which hasn't necessarily been their massive calling card this year, but they can beat you in so many different ways. And we saw that on Monday night. And the pass rush, which had been a little on the quieter side the last couple of weeks, certainly showed up in a big way as well. And it helped that Trent Williams left the game, for the 49ers and wasn't right. They didn't have they didn't have many answers even with him on the field, if we're being honest. But you look at this defense, and you said it, and I say this in no way to dismiss Lamar Jackson and the year he's having, or Todd Monken, or anything else they do on the offensive side of the football. But beyond Lamar just being healthy and being there and knowing that that has always given the Ravens a chance against anyone, I am in agreement in the sense of what's different for this team this year compared to 20 or 19 is this defense being that dynamic. And you know, to your point, I mean, again, the offense, they played, you look at the final numbers and you say thumbs up, right? But you know, it was a really choppy beginning for the offense, no doubt about it. But when the defense does what they did, it is so difficult to beat this football team. I mean, it really, really is. I mean, you just look at the different ways that they can beat you. And we've said it, other than the Rams game a couple weeks back, where, yeah, defense was not very good in that game, period. But other than that, you know, a couple quarters at a time, you know, second half of the Cleveland game, fine. You know, when Deshaun Watson with a broken shoulder was able to beat them, and the Marlon Humphrey gives up the touchdown to Pickens in week five. You know, the Colts ran on them more than you'd like to see. But other than some isolated periods of time, a quarter here or there, this defense has played at a championship level all year. And you do what you did on the road against the 49ers. There's no reason to not just think, but frankly, expect them. You know, there's no reason to not expect that kind of play the rest of the way, because, you know, you can talk about offenses all you want. All those offenses that you might be talking about that could potentially be a problem for the Ravens, they're all sitting there saying, how are we gonna beat this Ravens defense? Because Mike McDonald just has this group firing on all cylinders, and really is a compliment to him and what he's done schematically, going back to letting go of Wink Martindale, bringing him back after a year at Michigan. I mean, he's at the peak right now in terms of defensive coaching around the league, and it's growing more and more difficult envisioning a scenario, I guess, other than them winning the Super Bowl and knowing that teams don't wait it out. It's growing more difficult not to, you know, see scenarios where he's coaching for someone else next year, because this defense has been that great.
Luke Jones is here. He'll be around all week. The Ravens playing the Dolphins this week. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. Hopefully, you're eating all your leftovers. We're getting too many leftover cookies around this place for me. I feel like a cookie monster this time of year. Thank God I got Rofo with a little coffee in my cup. I even have like a little. I don't have my Cole Roofing mug. I have my Dundalk mug today with the. This was the poop plant at East Point Mall right there. So we're gonna be down at Fadley's on Wednesday, celebrating the end of the year. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I will have scratch offs to give away. I still have a couple on the desk here. I've been cleaning things off. My peppermint payouts, my O snaps. I happen to have some purple O snaps. They've been lucky. Luckier. We'll see how that goes. Luke's going to be out waiting for all things practice this week, kind of a short week. Luke, I don't see the biggest game of the year, but as big as big gets when you're talking about playing for bye, when you're talking about the difference between losing this game and having a letdown and somehow losing. Not somehow, the Dolphins are good. That somehow would be the defense doesn't pick the ball off five times and Purdy doesn't give the ball up. And instead, Tagovailoa is running around and they have an offense that's going to challenge this defense in a new kind of way this week, too. And we'll get to that. But I wanted to talk about taking the ball away and Marlon Humphrey, the backside of the secondary, the pass rush, all of this stuff. You talk about schematically what they did against Purdy. The 30 seconds that happened with the two turnovers where the game went from, this is a pretty good game. I'm tweeting out, pretty good game tonight, to it became a blowout very, very quickly. And I think for taking the ball away and their opportunities to do that early, they dropped some interceptions and stuff like that. The rest of the way, this defense is going to have a reputation. And like Marvin Lewis got hired. You talk about Mike McDonald, that it's schematic. It's schematic when you have the pieces. When you have the chess pieces, and Marvin Lewis had those pieces 20 years ago, they're making movies about it, right? And the players they have, I start to look individually at these players, and this isn't the Costa job to me to be bringing in Van Noy to find Clowney guys that when they signed them, you and I were like, that's nice. They, you know, Clowney was a player. He was a 1-1. Like, how much do these guys have left in the tank? And seeing the older players on the defense. And you can see Ronnie Stanley. You can see older players get run down and what it looks like when they're banged up. But defensively, this thing's been put together well. And you talk about having players that can play multiple positions. The drafting of Kyle Hamilton, the night he was drafted, you and I were like, safety, Notre Dame? Why? They just gave a whole bunch of money to Williams, right? And the questions get answered in that way as to how multiple they are. But defensively, this has been This is an organization win to me to create the depth that they've created defensively. I mean, the trade for Roquan Smith. How many organizations make that kind of a trade in the middle of a year when they believe they can win the Super Bowl, knowing they were going to have to give him $100 million? I don't want to do revisionist history with you on a day when Mike Florio is getting beaten up, but you didn't love that Roquan Smith contract, right? Like, literally, you're like, that's a lot of money. And now that they've given Lamar a lot of money this offseason, if they're running around showing off their ring, I guess it won't matter if Justin Madubuike gets out the side door or if Patrick Queen goes and gets paid the way Jamie Sharper did, or any Kim Herring, any of those pieces go away. If you win a Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. But I think we're going to look back, and I'm not going to be writing Purple Rain 3. That's a promise. That's not a threat. But if I were to document how all these players got here and the pipeline for what that defense did on the field, against the high-powered offense on Christmas night, on the road, all of that stuff, that the defense is something we're going to talk about this week. That's schematic by, to your point, DaCosta, Harbaugh saying, I want McDonald, I don't want Wink, good's not good enough, we want to do something else. Roquan Smith sitting out in the market, and you and I were like, boy, that's a good trade, great player, but you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. I mean, that's going to, they have to build their whole defense around him. We said this 58 weeks ago, right? Like, literally, and now we see all these pieces together, and the difference is they're healthy. I mean, they're on the field. Andrews, Stanley, Dobbins, some of these guys aren't on the field. Defensively, the one thing they have going, and cross fingers on number 14, because it wasn't good seeing Hamilton out, they've gotten their players on the field. And when and Roquan Smith plays with an aggression and a nasty, I mean, him and Queen together in the middle, they can win this team a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, you're cutting out a little bit on me, so I didn't hear all of that. But I think the big key is, and you said it towards the end there, is they are relatively healthy at this point. I mean, look, you're going to have guys that are going to miss some games here. I mean, there's no, for and this isn't a Ravens fan thing, but you see fans across the league. Well, if this guy was healthy and this guy didn't go down with it, like that, those things are going to happen. But when you look at this defense in its totality, it's intact. You have guys that are playing with some things here and there. And I think the good news with Kyle Hamilton, first of all, Harbaugh didn't seem overly concerned in his post-game press conference, but you saw Hamilton on the sideline late in the game. He was smiling and he's on the sideline, still in uniform, wasn't going to go back in the game at that point. I think, keep in mind, he's been dealing with the left knee. It's an MCL issue. And it was the same knee. I kind of wonder if it might have been the brace as much as anything, as he kind of got rolled up, but he was wearing that brace. But yeah, I mean, you just look at the depth that they have. You look at the structure. You mentioned Eric DaCosta. You mentioned John Harbaugh with bringing Mike McDonald in to run this defense. I mean, it really, Roquan Smith was, I feel like Roquan Smith, and even though Kyle Hamilton came before Roquan in terms of building, I think those two guys really are really what's made this thing from good, which it's been good, to great, is Roquan Smith kind of being the heart and soul of the defense at this point. But I'm telling you, I'm starting to wonder more and more if we're not going to be talking about Kyle Hamilton being the best player on this defense. And that's not a knock on Roquan as much as just a compliment to Hamilton. But it's not just a couple guys, it's the ensemble effort that they have where young guys, late round draft picks, trade acquisitions, I mean, free agent signings that have been savvy. I mean, go, across the
Well,
board, they've
Michael
built this
Pierce and
defense
Brent
very, very
Urban
well.
are guys
And they've
that
done
they
some
let
things
it.
that kind of went against convention a little bit in terms of.
Pierce and Urban are guys they brought back. That guys that know the system, really know the system well.
Yeah, no question about it. So, I mean, it's just, there's so many different ways that this has been built. And look, we know they have free agents. We haven't even mentioned Justin Madubuike, who had his sack streak was broken on Monday night, but he's played all pro kind of football at the defensive tackle position. They have free agents. There's going to be questions about what Mike McDonald and other assistants, who knows, when you have a defense like this. So, but for the rest of the way between now and you hope the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, because that's, that's the goal. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it's not going to be built like this again. It's not going to be all in place like this again with the health, depth, coaching, everything. Veterans, young guys, that mix. I mean, it changes, but boy, it's come together in a way where I'm never going to sit here and really truly compare a Ravens defense to 2000, because it's a completely different game now. We know that, but it is as formidable as a defense as they've had since the days of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, not at the end of their careers, but the heart of their career. You know, it's as great of a defense as any of those non-2000 Ravens, let's say, in terms of potential. Now, just like any of those other defenses, the task will be carrying that over to January and continuing to do what this team was able to do on Monday night, which is really, really impressive.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get some crab cakes around here. We're going to be Fadley's this week. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I'm interested in doors in 2024. You can learn more by calling them. You get buy two, get two free, 0% financing for 5 years. No questions asked on that. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I still need to get my oil changed. I've been running around the Beltway getting ham and cookies and eggnog and all sorts of good goods and bonbons over at Wise Markets. We had a great show there. You're going to be hearing some best of this week. From our crab cake tour in recent times. We've had so many great conversations in 2023. It's been such a great year around here. Certainly a good year for the baseball team, good year for the football team, good year for Luke to cover sports, good year for me to be locked out and cover sports from here and not be flying back from Santa Clara the day after Christmas and instead eating quote ambientes and eating some chocolate chip cookies around here. Merry Christmas to everybody. The Ravens are still the one seed. The Miami Dolphins are coming to town. We'll be talking all about that. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.